This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Here we go. It's Hour 5 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a good day. We had the final exhibition game of the Rangers spring earlier today, and the Rangers lost to the Royals 3-1, but it doesn't matter. What matters is they're pretty dang healthy. Rocker looked amazing. DeGrom kind of settled down, had trouble with a few batters, but he's good to go. And it's time to get more on the Rangers with Wolchuk's proper round tripper.
All right, let's do it. Big day today in the Wolchuk household. We did have our daughter Eliza start her preschool today, and I just got the pictures. She had a hell of a day today. My goodness gracious. They even give us notes.
She's going to skip tomorrow?
Everything that happened. No, she goes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The notes that she got here. Eliza is a very good eater. She ate 3/4 of her sandwich and all of her grapes.
Atta baby.
I'm very proud
sandwich,
of her.
Sandwich, huh? She's crushing sandwich.
3/4 of a sandwich today.
Philly cheese?
It was a grilled cheese, I believe, is what they wrote down here.
Chicken parm.
Grilled cheese sandwich.
Cold cuts.
Don't think she really touched the cucumbers, apparently, because they did write down that she also had cucumbers, but she didn't eat a lot of those.
So just like daddy. Squirt some lime juice on there.
We're going to work on those.
Like a pinch of salt. All of a sudden, cucumbers become
incredible. We'll get there. We'll get there. But all in all, man, she had a great day. Made some friends today. I think she might be the only girl in the class. Oh, there's one other girl. One other girl in the class. But did some arts and crafts. I mean, I'm proud of her, man. First day making new friends. Eating well.
How emotional did you get when you dropped her off?
Really wasn't too emotional. I thought I would be.
Wow.
But she just like sat down immediately and started
going to cry.
Well, I mean, she made it easy. Like okay. She was, if she had
that's
been,
the worry, the crying part.
Like if she had made it difficult where she started crying or was like looking at me, you know, and she now like puts the arms up like she wants me to pick her up. Yeah. That would have been tough. To turn around and walk out.
They tell you to walk. They
but
tell
she
you
was
to
just
go.
Immediately like engaged playing with the toys. Like she just took off running, man. It was great.
We didn't take Abby to anything like that until she was 4, and she freaked out.
Yeah.
And we like went onto the cameras where you could look like 3 hours later, and she's just standing there screaming.
Still?
Oh. Like everybody's playing. And like by the end of day 2, she stopped crying.
Okay, so it took a while to adjust.
Yeah. You definitely want, I think it's advantageous to get that out of the way a little earlier.
Yeah, I was proud of her, man. I'm really glad. Apparently she was super tired. Mom picked her up, went straight, took a nap. It's good to hear, man.
That's awesome, dude. Seriously, congratulations.
She crushed it. She really, really did. Okay, let's look at some Ranger predictions for this season. Now, I loved what Evan Grant did here. We went ahead and did Evan Grant's month-by-month breakdown of the season.
Oh, wow.
So let's see how the Rangers do. Do we agree? Do we disagree?
I mean, he's already got us keeping an eye on, what, like 50 different things?
He is the keeping an eye on guy. You're watchdogging him on that.
Just keep, I cut them all out, and I made a nice little binder
for him. Keep an eye on it. You know, just keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it. All right, March and April. What's notable? Globe Life Field, since it opened in 2020 to an empty house, the Rangers are undefeated in three season openers at home, which bodes very, very well for this against Boston, okay?
Heck yeah, it does.
So we're ready to walk, ready to rock here. Now, the key series, he says, this month, Dodgers, April 18th to the 21st. Could it be a World Series preview? At least if you're going by mid-spring training data projections, it might be.
That's right.
Rangers were the leader in a tightly bunched group of AL contenders, according to Baseball Prospectus. Dodgers were the overwhelming favorites. That's not a shocker. Key number, 569. Bruce Bochy understands the assignment. In each of his two seasons managing the Rangers, he made getting out of the gate a fast priority, and the club has responded with a 33-25 composite record through the end of April. It is tied for the eighth best winning percentage in baseball in that frame, best in the AL West by four games. So getting out fast is important. We're going prediction here, 18-13 in the first month of the season. First month, Rangers are 18-13. What, five games above 500? Mm-hmm. By quick math, correct?
We'll take it.
We'll take this. Good?
Yeah.
I'm thinking more 20-10.
I mean, 18-13 I would take, you know, because it eliminates being 11. Under 500. But I'm greedy here, buddy.
Yeah, well, I'm greedy too. I want about as good of a start as possible. May, what's notable? Rangers have their longest stretches of playing without a day off in the early season. From April 22nd. Through May 18th, they're scheduled to play 26 games in 27 days with the lone off day coming on May the 5th. Good news for them. Stretch includes seven games against the A's, which might not be good news.
Might not be. Yeah.
Some people are projecting the A's to make it to the postseason this year. Three against Colorado, which did not go well for the Rangers last year in Colorado, both of whom lost more than 90 games last year, and 19 with teams that are projected to have a losing record still. You never know. These kinds of stretchers certainly put pressure on the pitching staff and the bullpen. All right, so we need to hope this staff through the first month of the season ready to rock. Arms are feeling good here because in May this could be taxing. You got a three-game series against Houston from May 16th to May 18th. That'll be their first meeting of the season, and the key number in this month is 29. That's the amount of home runs hit by catchers against the Rangers last season. And this month, you're playing against some damn good catchers, including Shea Langeliers, who it felt like every damn time the Rangers played against the A's, Langeliers was hitting a bleeping homer. So screw him. I don't like you. They also have to play against Travis d'Arnaud as well. 17-11 is the projected record, though, in this month, which would be pretty damn juicy. 17-11, I would take that throughout this gauntlet of a month in May.
I would too. Yeah, sounds great. I mean, we're off to an amazing start. Combined.
We go to June.
Yeah.
Rangers have their greatest deficit on home-to-road games in June. All right? They simply haven't done a very good job on the road. They were 74-88 on the road the last two regular seasons. Now, we know the World Series stretch. They were brilliant on the road. They also have a big series coming up against the Mariners in late June, 27th to the 29th. So, against the Mariners in Seattle, they're 10-16 with Bruce Bochy at the helm. They've got to do a better job winning in Seattle. Key number is six. Visits to Baltimore in recent years have taken on a nightmarish Groundhog Day kind of feel, at least during the regular
season.
Except
for the playoffs.
Since 2022, the Rangers' annual trip to Baltimore has fallen somewhere between Memorial Day weekend and July 4th, and it's been anything but a holiday. Seven losses in 10 games, including six one-run decisions, two of them being walk-off losses. So that's a pretty rough run right there. 13-13, 500 record. You're still well above 500 right now overall, but that would be keeping it 500 in June. So far, no month have they had a losing record just yet. July. This is 14-11.
Gotcha.
Now we're getting into the dog days of summer here, right? Second straight month, Rangers are going to play a significant more amount of games on the road. Now, this is good because it's going to circle back. Sure. Rangers are going to get a bunch of home games here. But they do have another big series against the Astros in July, okay? Now, when it comes to post-All-Star break, Rangers have gone 0-4 in Houston in regular season games. Not good. Projected record, though, 14-11, still three games above 500. Get to August, 15-13, two games above 500 for the Rangers here. Another key series on the road in Seattle, key number 235. Why? Jacob DeGrom's career ERA for the month of July and August. He likes it hot. Over his career, Jacob DeGrom, 33-19 in July and August, with just under 11 Ks per nine innings and a 5.97 strikeout to walk rate. So this is going to be a big test. Can he stay healthy? And then in September, he's also got him with a winning record, 14-10. So overall, 91-71, 20 games over 500, first place in the American League West, and the top seed in the American League. If this were to hold month over month, boys, I would take this. I think we'd all take this. And it would also include, yes, a Jacob DeGrom who stayed healthy. And the Rangers are looking real good heading into the postseason.
Man, what a blessing that would be. I mean, it feels like it's there for the taking in terms of the AL. Like, you have the odds right now. The odds are a little nobody... I'm surprised they still have the Yankees, the Astros as the two teams that
I can't believe the
they
Astros
have
are
as the favorites. So I think that just speaks to the opportunity that's there. I think Boston, and you open up against them, but Boston's going to be a real threat in the AL for sure. And we'll get a little taste of Alex Bregman in a Sox uniform. How about that?
And Bregman's done well against the Rangers, and that rotation's also, you know, one that I think for the Red Sox much improved from a year ago. I'd say Boston's probably my second best team in the American League behind the Rangers going into the season. I think they're very, very good. They're locked, they're loaded, and I think the Yankees are just due to regress with the Gerrit Cole injury, and then I really just don't even know how much they're going to have Giancarlo Stanton this year. We do have it. I'm seeing, of course, the text. I appreciate it. 877-881-1053. The breaking news rap sheet reporting Patriots are signing Stephon Diggs. 3-year deal, $69 million. Nice. Good for you, Stephon Diggs.
They're willing to throw the money around right now.
They sure are. And we talked during NFL News of the Day. He's running right now. The rehab's gone really, really well from his injury. So hopefully he's good to go for the youngster Drake May. But I hope Drake May's ready for this, because it did seem like Josh Allen over time just seemed to be a little frustrated with the antics of one Stephon Diggs. But I'm excited to see this pairing right now. They were desperate for a number one wide receiver. They've got their guy here in Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, he's just happy he's got a pass catcher you can depend on that's not, like Hunter Henry or something.
Yeah, one of their tight ends or runners. That's the way to go. MLB power rankings to start the season. Rangers, number 10. Playoff odds, 40%, according to The Athletic. Now, they do say that they're one of the hardest teams in baseball to nail down, and they're right. I think all of this is like a big projection. Can the Rangers all of a sudden stay healthy? We got today the frustration, and people were already texting like, oh my God, Young's already hurt. Seager's dealing with a hammy. What's going on? Jared told us, it's okay. It's precautionary, all right? If we get into the season and all of a sudden we're a week in, one of these guys is on the IL, I'll go ahead and get crazy weird with you and start to think the sky is falling too.
Yep.
I'm not going to freak out because they didn't play an exhibition game on a day game after a night game yesterday. It's okay. Are they playing opening day? Yeah, they should be in the lineup. If they're not, we can revisit this conversation.
Yeah.
And we can panic.
You know, I do want to say that last year in spring training, there were a lot of red flags that we just sort of ignored because they overcame so much adversity in winning the World Series. You know, I was a little intoxicated by it, thought it would be fine, wasn't. This year, you know, losing Bradford, losing Gray, that could be the beginning of multiple dominoes falling that could, you know, put us in a situation where we have to ask ourselves, are we being homerish, being optimistic? Right now, not homerish, Wolchuk. I saw Jeff Passan, noted a senior MLB writer today, picking the Rangers to win the pennant, baby.
There
the Astros
go.
Are done.
I love that.
Astros are done. Mariners have no offense. The A's, you kidding me? Come on. They don't even know if they want to be a big league team or a triple A team out there in Sacramento. What's going on over there?
I guess the thing is, because they're playing in Sacramento, they could end up getting the bump like we saw from the Blue Jays a few years ago. They went crazy with home run totals. So maybe the A's, who did spend some money on their lineup this year, they end up being a above average offensive club, and that helps them win some more games than we expect them to win. And that's why some do think that they're a sexy pick to make the postseason as a wild card.
I wonder how much it's going to affect them, though, just the conditions of what they're going to be playing in for, like, their home games and stuff. Like just their general.
Yeah, it's just the wear and tear on them. When you get
into it'll be an issue when you get into the end of the season, like August, September. That's when it's going to be like super duper hot there in Sacramento, and it'll just depend on the heat. But otherwise, I think they feel okay about what they're going to be doing because it's a smaller ballpark. So to play in, it's going to be okay. But yeah, obviously, it's not going to be as nice when it comes to the clubhouse amenities.
I mean, and it could be better. I mean, that was a sewage spot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Evidently, they're building. I think they were building some stuff for this for them, like a new, like a little, like this new locker rooms and stuff like
good.
That.
I mean, they probably should because it is a minor league facility. But the Coliseum was not thought of very highly. So it could end up being one where it's not.
Might be more comfortable.
Not too bad.
Get a modern building.
Yeah, that's possible. Really, really is. Okay, there's around the bases for you as we get closer to opening day.
He's done it. Look at that. Rounding third, coming home. Zach Wolchuk strutting through a proper round tripper as our baseball expert here in the nation. Hodgepodge coming up next, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Well, we'll continue to flesh out Russell Wilson to the Giants, Stephon Diggs to the Patriots. We have our March Madness stat of the day, plus a new personal fear has been unlocked.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Here's the chief of the Sports Hodgepodge.
I saw something that I wish I could unsee. I will address it here in a second. But yes, Russell Wilson is now a Giant. Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston are teammates in the Big Apple. That is the world that we are living in. That is reality. 1 year, up to $21 million for Russell Wilson, $10.5 million guaranteed. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it doesn't completely rule them out for Shedeur Sanders at three, but I mean, Wolchuk is pretty adamant that he feels confident that Shedeur Sanders is going to the Browns at two anyways.
Yeah.
But if Shedeur slips, I mean, now the Jets at seven have a chance. Maybe the Saints and Kellen Moore at nine have a chance.
Maybe the Cowboys at 12.
Would the Cowboys at 12, the Colts at 14 with their Anthony Richardson issues, maybe they're trusting the fact that they went and got old Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes.
So the Raiders say, let's do this.
If you look at what the situation with the general manager there with the Giants, he might be in a situation like I'm not going to draft your quarterback of the future. I'm drafting the guys that they can maybe help me win right now. So he might be loading up on these quarterbacks just to say, I don't think it buys him any time because if he plays a rookie quarterback, the likelihood that he's not going to have success. So I could see him going out. Like I say, you got these veteran quarterbacks and adding another skill guy to the mix, and pair him with Neighbors and see if they can just go out score people, if they like a Hunter or something like that. But the quarterback might not be in play there. It might be like he might be just so, I hate to use the word gun shy about it, but he might be gun shy about it. Like, I got to win now. And if I take a quarterback, that ain't helping me now. I need guys that are going to play now. So this I think they're going for a offensive player,
skill guy. And about 15 minutes ago, the Patriots announced that they are signing former now Texans and Bills and Vikings wide receiver Stephon Diggs. So that's 3 years, up to $69 million total. For Stephon Diggs off the ACL injury. So Drake May gets a playmaker. And they were desperate for it, there's no doubt. But and it seems like he's attacked the rehab pretty nicely. So they get an added weapon, and now Stephon Diggs will get a couple of revenge game opportunities versus the Bills. It's a win-win all around.
Yep.
Nothing better than a revenge game, Chief.
Revenge.
I mean, seriously, I can't even tell you. I'm trying to think who's the number one receiver in New England. I mean, I think statistically it might have been their tight ends. I really think Hunter Henry might have led the team in receptions last year. It was just completely empty of playmakers. So
they drafted Polk and Baker.
Polk and Baker.
And they said that they thought that their coaching staff probably held back the rookie wide receivers. Hopefully they take a step forward in year two.
They're going to need to in a big way. Hey, would you guys still, what do you guys think of this Miami Hurricanes receiver? He's cranking up the old excuse machine now, but he ran the like 4.8. He's a slot receiver, undersized. Mm-hmm. He ran a 4.8 40 at the pro day. Yeah. Restrepo.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good player. I mean, the production is pretty impressive. The route running, I think, is pretty impressive as well. But he has now come out on Twitter, buy or sell. He says, don't usually do this, but I feel like it's necessary due to the circumstances. During warmups yesterday before the 40, my right hamstring tightened up on me, prohibited me to opening up and running my fastest. He said he'd been in the 4.5s on the laser training, and he can't wait to get back 100%.
Yeah, you know, we got over a month to go till the draft, buddy. So, you know, hopefully your hammy gets right, and sometime on draft week, maybe, you can get out there and show us what you got. Ain't no way I'm drafting a 4.8 guy.
You know who his agent is? Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a shark. Immediately doing damage control after this.
He's
happened.
The best in the business, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He is the best in the business.
If you pull your hammy or quad pre-40, you're not running it.
No, exactly. That's why I think this is a excuse machine, and it's, you know, dude, the tape's fine for you. It'll be all right, but you'll get your chance. You can run it again if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
But if a team's interested, you go in there and have a visit. They want you to run. Go ahead. But, I mean, that's not a guy. There's receivers that I personally like a little bit more than him.
His tape is actually really good, and if you watch games like the Cal game where they came back, Louisville, where they had to have some offense, this guy makes a ton of plays. He might be a lot like Hunter Renfro, that kind of player.
Third and Renfro, baby.
Yeah, maybe, you know, a guy that
good year
that just
I'll be doing recycling.
But that same kind of 4 years that from same now. Kind of
smaller
player.
Receiver.
Yeah,
very quick.
Yeah.
Good in and out of his breaks. I mean, he is a really good route runner. That's how he wins.
Had, yeah, he shows up on tape. He really, really does. And I think he plays faster than that time. I might believe him here because I didn't expect him to run a 4.8 because the tape, he plays so much faster than that. Yeah, so much faster.
Yeah, I'm definitely pulling for him. But like a lot of people have compared him to Jarvis Landry. LSU Tiger, slot receiver, not known for his speed at the combine. He ran like a 4.77, but he apparently did actually have a pulled hamstring that year at the combine, because then he went to the pro day a couple weeks later and he was anywhere from a 4.55 to a 4.61. Jarvis Landry.
Wow.
So I mean, even and that's not like a great time by any means, but just to show you the difference there, pretty giant. Okay, now into the world of basketball. Jimmy Butler makes his return to Miami tonight. Apparently, I mean, do you guys think that would be a warm reception? Do you think with the way, just how bad things got there at the end? Are you doing a tribute video? Are you acknowledging him in any way?
I mean, the organization probably no. I think the fans, yes.
See, that was my thought as well. I'm like, there's no way Pat Riley, there's no way they're going to acknowledge him, and you just can't control what the fans are going to do. If they have respect for the runs that Jimmy put them on, almost completing the mission and being a champion, then you go ahead and cheer for him. That's fine. I think there will be a mix of some boos, but I think it'll be mostly cheers. Here's the kicker. We get word. The Heat are going to acknowledge him by way of tribute video.
Ooh, there we go. Class act.
They're
taking the high road.
They are taking
right after
the high
said
road.
The Heat culture's overrated, a little overstated there.
I was
glad somebody said it.
I was not expecting that. I guarantee you this is against Pat Riley's will.
Oh, like, absolutely.
He's going to be scratching and clawing to hit the off button. No, he will not be watching.
He'll show up a little late.
He'll be at the urinal at this time.
Yeah. He might not be at the game tonight.
Yeah, he might punt on it all together.
He just said, no, we're not going to do this.
Your March Madness stat of the day, of the 16 teams left in the dance, only 5 have a starting lineup of at least 3 players who started their college careers at the school they currently attend.
Wow.
Purdue is the only team where the entire starting lineup features 0 transfer portal players.
Yeah.
You have, I mean, Auburn, Ole Miss, Florida, Arkansas, Alabama only have 1 starter who began his career at his current school. And 3 teams, Arizona, Michigan, and Kentucky, have 0 starters who aren't transfers.
Certainly, there's got to be a better way, but I mean, maybe
the landscape.
Maybe this is ideal that it gives players an opportunity to find the best opportunity for them.
Yeah,
You know, I don't know if I'm the coaches, if I want out of this as well, because the best teams want to turn off the or turn over the really the bottom half of their roster. I want to get rid of a lot of guys. If I'm the best team and people want to come here, I don't want to be locking into guys either. So, you know, I think we might just have to get used to it.
Oh, we're definitely going to have to get used to it. I am hopeful that the next two rounds or so, Sweet 16, should be fantastic.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Elite Eight is incredible. You just want games that are down to the wire and close. Obviously, buzzer beaters are amazing, but
we still
within the final 2 minutes, having this a real game. I'm sick of these 10-point leads throughout the entire game, and they win by double digits.
I agree with you. We need closer basketball. I think we're going to get that. As long as we have buzzer beaters, the drama of win or go home. You know, as long as 6, 7, 8s are making their way to the Elite Eight or even the Final Four, I think you're going to have enough of the upset power. Like, it actually gotten diluted over the last 10 years, I would say, with so many 13, 14, 15 seeds winning games. You know, this kind of restores the order that I remember in the 80s where the power held. And if a 12 won, damn it, it was a story, not an expectation.
That's right. Okay, so we have a brand new addition to the Final Destination movie series. Now, Wolchuk, I'm sure, has maybe caught a glimpse of this particular teaser, Warlock, but I wish I hadn't seen it. How familiar are you guys with Final Destination?
Familiar with the concept. As you know, a lot of flying anxiety.
Uh-huh.
Not a big fan of it. Not a big fan of the franchise.
Just like the craziest ways that people are being killed in these movies.
I still don't drive behind like a lumber truck to this day because of those movies. Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's one of the headliners and most synonymous when you consider Final Destination. There was the tanning bed trap.
Yes, that is all
just locked and you just cook in a tanning bed. Absolutely awful. There's been some really, really bad ones. And the latest, I couldn't help myself. It was only a 10-second teaser, and all it does is show a bartender just cleaning up the bar, whatever, and he drops a glass drink on the bar, and glass just
shatters.
Just shatters everywhere, and bits of it end up falling into the ice bucket, and so he's scooping ice, not realizing there's a glass shard in there, and he's putting it into a drink, and so you just know that somebody is going to be drinking a drink where one of the ice cubes that go down their throat is actually a shard of glass.
I was, have you guys ever been bartenders anywhere? Have you ever bartended?
Really, no.
I was a bar back one time in college, and any time that a glass was broke on the bar, we had to empty all the ice, put all new ice in.
Okay, ooh. So this is a common thing bar where
if a glass shatters or a bottle shatters behind the bar, you automatically change out all the ice.
Probably smart thing.
All
to
the
do.
Things.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
So you can afford.
I'm glad that they're buttoned up in that way. Yeah. Hopefully, all bars are like that, because it's not something I'd ever considered. And now I see this and I'm like, I won't look at a glass of ice water or anything the same.
You hear a glass break in a bar, it is like, that's the worst for people behind the bar. Because their life now is about, okay, we got to empty all this, basically shut down part of your bar to make sure you get the ice out of that machine.
Yeah, they've got the full like 2.5 minute trailer out now.
Did you watch?
It gets way worse.
You watched it?
I mean, and that's just like
scratching the surface.
Absolutely. There's a lawnmower involved.
Is this shows how you die?
It's just like weird coincidental things. Like you drop a beer, and the beer ends up hitting like the on system to something that you don't want turned on, and now you're grilling, and all of a sudden we're getting like added fuel to the grill, and boom, it catches on fire, and now somebody else has broken a glass, and somebody steps on it, the shard of glass goes in their foot, and they fall backwards, and all of a sudden, now the lawnmower's been activated, and it smashes a dude's face, rides right over the face. It's just terrible ways to die.
Because it's their time to go, right? They dodge death in some way, and now
death's going to come back and get you.
The Reaper's coming to get you.
Yeah,
you can run, but you can't hide. These aren't like real people. It's like kind of like animated stuff.
No, it's real.
No, it's a movie.
It's real people, but it's a movie. It's all fake.
It's not like actual. This isn't real.
No, actual death. But I mean, it's not animated. Like,
no, it's not animated.
Showing it like if you're in the front of a plane and you go down.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff to go on in these movies.
All right.
The creativity.
Someone said in the 817, that's like the Chomps beef stick news. Yeah, did you guys hear about that? Those Chomp beef sticks.
They get stuck in someone's throat?
We were eating. We ate a couple when we were in Surprise.
Yeah, they were good.
Beef stick. Yeah, they're incredible. Yeah. Like 30,000 pounds of it or something in a couple of states. Not Texas, not Arizona, which is the two places I've consumed these sticks. Apparently, there was like metal and like lead and all sorts of different crap that was found to be inside a bunch of those. So they've recalled like a ton of them. So that was
I'm like essential minerals.
Not gonna be able to eat that anymore.
That's terrible.
I just can't eat those chomps.
Can't trust
anymore.
Them.
But there's a wide variety now of pretty tasty like grass fed beef sticks. So, but that one was a crazy one. A lot of people are texting in about the ice the bar.
Yeah.
They call it burn the ice. Like they would set it on fire and the ice would melt or whatever.
Yeah,
and then if there was any glass remaining, you would see
I just know as a bar back, we had to take a scooper and dig all that ice out is what we had to do.
Yuck.
Yeah. That's a tough gig.
Mm-hmm. Well, something like we had issues at Chick-fil-A. Something would fall in there and now we've got to completely take it out, clean the ice. Yeah. That would be, it's just a pain in the ass.
It really is, dude. Okay. What do you think is the proper punishment for this particular pilot? United Airlines. They had to turn the plane around. This was a journey from L.A. to Shanghai. Uh-oh. They're 2 hours in. They got to turn this thing
Long
around.
Flight.
They got to go to San Francisco. They have to divert because one of the pilots makes the rookie mistake of forgetting to bring his passport. He's 2 hours into a flight. He's up in the altitudes, and it dawns on him, like Kevin McAllister's mom.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Where's my passport? Now, how is he able to get through all the airport checkpoints as a pilot? You just have carte blanche. You don't have to flash a pass.
Separate area. You would figure with an international flight too, they would have all that paperwork done before they even took off.
Well, if you're going, you're not going to go through that. What do they call it when you got to declare stuff?
Customs.
Customs.
You don't go through customs until you get there.
Yeah.
So I think you could get on that bird without it.
Flash your airline.
That's
pass.
How he gets to the plane. He just flashes his credentials.
So they just leave it all up to the pilots not to have a brain fart.
This sounds really strange. That
you got to button up your
with all
security
that paperwork
stuff
and stuff they probably need. I'm surprised they don't have on the manifest the crew and all that and numbers. And I can't believe they would have to turn a plane
around.
So
did he bring a commercial flight back?
I don't know. I don't know the
How
front
many
end
other
of
people
this.
Were on there on that on that.
And there's like 275
yeah,
people.
Yeah, there was a bunch of people on this flight. This is a full flight going from LA to Shanghai, and dude's 2 hours in forgetting as a pilot in the cockpit. Yeah. Oh, I don't have a passport.
That's not my bad. That's not my problem. You know, you're gonna have to take me here, and you're gonna have to get it sorted once you get there. You know, you're not gonna be able to leave the airport, go into that little executive lounge and hang out till your flight back home. His time.
Yeah, I would be so ticked because then you end up, I think they all ended up having to like stay overnight and wait for another flight.
My goodness.
Or they at least had to wait a handful
of hours.
This sounds
like could have been better. We could have done better use of our time here.
These airlines must be so lawyered up and like fine printed up that they're just
scan,
Teflon.
Can we scan our passport and send it across?
Right.
Scan it, send it to United.
A little risky, dude.
Why wouldn't United not have a copy of his passport since he's an international pilot?
In every airport in the world.
Yeah. On their screen, they should have every international crew member that gets on a plane.
Well, this is a United Airlines problem. They've botched this. They're just as guilty as the pilot is.
Really?
And why would he take his passport out of his scouting bag? Yeah.
Well, the pilot bag.
You know, those pilot bags they roll around.
And United is also in some other hot water because United has been sued by a constipated flyer who claims the pilot broke down the bathroom door because he was taking too long. So this dude was just pulling a wall chuck, sitting on the toilet for like 45 minutes or whatever. And the pilot got like so frustrated by it, he just broke the door down. And he arrived, he was met with dude with his pants down sitting on the toilet, as one might imagine.
So
now this dude is 20 years old and he's suing United.
Must have had too many donuts that week. Can be hard.
Hope he wins.
Got to think ahead.
Got to get the Metamucil Fiber Thins, man, if you're going on a flight like that.
I would think so.
You don't want to get backed up.
Morning and night. Now, thank you, Chief.
Personal time.
There it is, a sports hodgepodge for the ages here in the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, there's like three restrooms on a bird.
Yeah, I mean, come on, dude.
Walk to the back or something.
Yeah, there was 12 on that one plane. They stopped up 11, remember?
Yeah.
The Indian Airlines.
Flying far. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
11 bathrooms, it's hard to believe. believe.
That was some bad butter chicken.
That's full Russell Wilson, Sierra, Denver Mansion stuff.
A lot of naan.
It's a lot of facilities.
A lot of naan
is something else, man.
Naan is really good.
We got the Fan After Dark coming up next. Fred and Blake throwing heat over there in the bullpen, and they're up next here on The Fan.
Thank you very much, Lubinsky in for Lucius. All week? How long are you going to be in here, Ross?
Not the whole week, just yesterday and today, but I'll be with y'all a lot next week as well.
A lot next week as well.
All right. James Triley.
Doing a good job.
Friday.
A little Triley coming in here.
Yep.
Okay. Opening day on Thursday, of course. It'll be an abbreviated show. I believe the KMC is going to take care of us there. We'll be in for an hour, basically a post-game show or so. Argentina qualify for World Cup 2026. Still not clear if Messi wants to play or if he can get fit enough to make a legit run at going back-to-back, but that's one of those stories out there, as Argentina did qualify, Messi not participating in that process. But it's time now to chat with the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking. Gentlemen, how we doing tonight?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing? I keep forgetting it's Tuesday. Because we weren't here yesterday. So we're getting into baseball season. So Fan After Dark, getting into baseball mode, baseball schedule, if you will. So we're going to hammer it hard tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday. And then next week, 9 to midnight. So for all you late night cats out there,
that's going to be juicy right there. 9 to
electric.
That's the sexy time right there.
It is the sexy time.
We might start off with Fair or Foul.
I'll tell you what. We might start off with Fair or Foul. We might start off with Blake It or Leave It. I mean, that 11 to 12 hour, all bets are off.
Fools with no rules dominating the evening.
I like it.
Broadcast airwaves right here.
That sounds like a segment you used to do. Fools with no rules.
I think that's what they used to say about the KMC masterpiece.
Okay.
Colby Sapp, you know. This Wheel of Misfortune back here, they'd spin it and have to do something crazy.
Okay.
You know, they'd be fighting and punching each other just for just to go viral.
Just for ratings.
Yeah. Russell Wilson to the Giants. What do you think they're thinking at there in New York? You know,
I guess this means no Shador at three. I'm guessing this was Bode's four. We're having Jameis and Russ there. It'd be kind of awkward to have another quarterback there.
He's three.
But why? Then why would you bring in Russ if you know you're going to draft Shador?
It's a one-year deal.
Because you're not going to start Shador.
Why not? Why not?
Because you don't need to.
They do need to. They need a revival.
I don't know that Shador is immediately better for the Giants right away.
Then don't draft him if you don't think he's better.
And I think that's their plan.
I don't think he's going to be there anyway.
I think the general manager is seeing that he's got one foot in the parking lot.
Yeah.
He's trying to get players in there that can help him potentially keep his job right now.
Wait, Zach, did you say you don't think Shador will be there at three?
I think the Browns are taking him at two.
That'd be interesting.
Maybe that's why they're pivoting like this.
Yeah.
That could make some sense.
Oh, they got some insight behind the scenes.
But I don't think sitting him for a year is going to, I mean, you know, back in the day, that's what you did.
But it's not back in the day anymore.
No, it's not, but I think you could still, look, if you're the Patriots tried it for about, half a season, so that turned out.
As long as they could.
You know, as long as they could, but I think if you're the Giants, to your point, Broadus, is, all right, so you got Jameis, which, you know, I mean, with the money the way it is, you probably, I mean, what did we say the guarantee money is for Russ? $10
million? Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, you have him for a year, I mean, okay, so Shador sits for half a season, then you play him. I mean, when Jameis is just happy to be there. Right. And then maybe at the very least, you can always trade him. So, I mean, having an abundance of quarterbacks, I don't know. That's necessarily a bad thing.
So you don't think this means they're not drafting Shador?
I don't. No, okay. Not at all.
I talked to Daniel Jeremiah today. He seems to feel like that the Giants and New England both are interested in getting out of their picks.
Over that.
3 and 4. Yeah. They're interested.
But does that question for you is this then. Does that do enough? Like, look, I get it. They're saying, all right, mortgage the future. Who cares? You may not be there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've literally seen the last three teams that Russell Wilson's been with. Like, if you're John Mara, you're saying to yourself, Russ and Jameis, we're good.
It might be a situation, though, too, where he's probably telling them, like, listen, you don't take a quarterback. You know, if you take a quarterback and you might not see him play.
Yeah.
He might not with the two guys, you know, maybe it's a halfway thing, what we saw with our guy, the Michael Penix.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, damn, we should have played him the whole year. But the Mariners might be saying, as a general manager on your last leg, you might not want to take a quarterback here. You might want to try and get as many guys you can to help you save your job. I believe that's what they're trying to do. And the fact that they're interested in backing out of the pick tells me that they're really not interested in taking a quarterback.
Might have multiple teams inside the top five wanting to trade down. Any sign the Cowboys are interested in this yet?
I have not heard at all. I have not heard that
at
all.
That'd be fun.
But you know what? Like I say, Daniel Jeremiah brought it up, and I asked him, and if he'd heard something, he said, no, he just knew that the guys were trying to move. But if those if 3 and 4 are trying to move, and who knows what Jacksonville at 5 could do, you know, they could. That's a new general manager, new head coach there. They might not stand in there and make a pick. How interesting would that be if 3, 4, and 5 all trade out of their spots, you know?
Would that water down the return? If you've got three teams that are saying to themselves,
we talked about that today. I'm about to go on air for 3 days of a draft and think that nobody's going to get value for their picks going up.
Okay.
Yeah.
New food item available at the Mets games, a bucket of chocolate chip cookies. Could you guys eat the whole thing? 20 of them.
20?
Yeah.
Are these Chips Ahoy size?
I'd call them Otis Spunkmeyer size.
Fred, yes. You could eat all 20.
Just asking, Fred. You know, I mean, if these are
crumble cookies, you're talking about maybe one.
I'm pretty much fine.
I think you get diabetes after two.
Yeah, no, those things are ridiculous. The amount of butter and sugar they're putting in those bad
monsters.
Boys. My gosh.
Yeah, but I know I could eat 20 Tips Treats cookies.
Yeah, that's like your standard cookie, I would say, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a decent sized cookie. You know, but
why are we doing this, though?
Overwhelming.
Think about this.
You don't want cookies in a bucket?
No. That's all.
And you get a take-home
Eric
bucket.
Eric wants milk at the game.
I do want milk to accompany.
I would like some milk with the cookies.
They just don't really serve it at the ballpark.
Right.
Since when have we been serving chocolate chip cookies?
20 is insane.
By the 20 in a bucket.
You could do some specialty.
I need a quart.
If you're going to revolutionize the sport, revolutionize the damn sport.
This is why we're obese.
This is what you do is you pour the milk in the bucket.
20 cookies, and this is going to be probably a bestseller?
Now the cookies are soaking in the milk, and we are just dipping and eating as we go.
Cookie crisp on
just
steroids.
Just a sexual little
tsunami. Or do you just go Saratoga water and then just dump the face?
So what are we saying over here? You got like Chips Ahoy as cereal?
Yeah.
Yeah,
is that what you're describing?
Yeah,
you're basically describing cookie crisp.
He's dousing the bucket of cookies with milk.
I saw
a giant bowl of cookie cereal.
Like I saw the food hack ripped open the Oreos, the double stuffed Oreos, and poured the milk over them. So like they were like slightly submerged each row in the milk. And then everybody, like the family comes over and is able to just like pluck your, and it already has the milk.
And then at the end, who gets
and then somebody gets to, you know, chug that.
Yeah, that's right.
Milk in a baseball.
We've got like one person who's listening overseas just laughing at us Americans right now talking about food.
Fat as hell.
Yeah, enjoy your 20s, Blake.
The European concessions is a lot of slop. Let's be honest.
Yes, sir. Thanks to our guy, Ross Lebinski.
European concessions.
In the G-Bag Nation. Thanks to Wolchuk and Chia Follow and brought us. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the nation. At ease.